Dear Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
What's up, guys? Before we jump into the show, we're excited to tell you about some game-changing coffee. Strava Craft Coffee is a CBD-enriched Java that has really changed lives. Their infuser are incredible, so make sure you check them out, because what you'll see is that this CBD-infused coffee has taken away long-term migraines, back pain, arthritis, IBS. It's helped decrease anxiety. Whatever it is, you name it. CBD is an all-natural and non-psychoactive ingredient, and the coffee is rich and tasty. Check it out for yourself today and receive 20% off when you use the code BSN2019 at checkout, and you'll get it shipped straight to your door. Let's make podcast magic.
Broncos country is sitting in the south stands, drinking the curds from Mile High, the best part of the weekend. Hugging a perfect stranger, they become a friend, having a good time when the orange and blue W-I-N. Tuning in every day with the good folks down at BSN.
Welcome into the BSN Broncos podcast presented by The Green Solution. The Green Solution has 17 Colorado locations and an express checkout to get you in and out as fast as possible. Go on to mygreensolution.com and use the code BSN20 for 20% off your entire purchase. How are you doing, Zach?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm doing better than the guys next to us. There's some weird noises coming from the booth next to us right now.
You know, that's their thing. They just make loud, weird noises. Loud, weird noises. That's Brett Kane's thing.
I think we have that thing as well.
Yesterday's practice, an interesting one, I found. You kind of start to get an idea, in my opinion, of how they're trying to work around these injuries. In your estimation, what did you learn in that regard?
Alexander Johnson. He's actually kind of taking over that inside linebacker spot. At least that's what yesterday gave the idea of, because typically, since all these linebackers have been out, it's a new set of linebackers every single period. And then not only was Alexander Johnson the only inside linebacker that stayed with the first team the entire day after practice, Vic Fangio comes out and singles him out. He says Alexander, or he calls him AJ Johnson, has improved a lot. And I'm curious today, if he's out there again, then that is going to speak volumes to how they view this backup spot.
Yeah, I think it's Sharpie time for old AJ Johnson.
Yep.
Are we allowed to call him AJ again? I like that better.
Coach calls him AJ, but he doesn't want to be called AJ.
Maybe we have to revisit this with him. Because AJ is way better. Makes him sound like a better player.
What if he says, no, it's Alexander, then do we correct Coach next time he's on the booth?
Coach, no. No, you're wrong. I'm sure he'll take fine to that.
I can't believe PR didn't tell you about this, but Coach, it's Alexander.
Coach, you've got it all wrong. Patrick, what are you doing?
Death by details.
Great episode of Bachelor in Paradise last night.
Ah, a little BIP.
Yeah, a little BIP. Really had me locked in.
I thought so. That. So it was better. They stepped their game up.
They did. Yeah. Episode one, eh. Episode two, solid. Episode three, they're locked in now.
Wow.
Producers are in a groove.
Wow.
Left a nice tease going into tonight's festivities.
So if producers are in a groove, then you agree it is written. It is scripted. They're writing it well.
Everything that happens in the Bachelor franchise is 100% real.
And it's full of love. It's all love.
It's all love and happiness and juicy, juicy drama.
You know what? I would have watched BIP yesterday, but I got thrown off. Since I'm new to this Hard Knocks game, I thought it was Mondays. And I thought that's
too.
Why you dropped that article yesterday, and I thought that's why yesterday, because I just thought it was Mondays. So I was just, you know, sitting in front of the TV for 2 hours waiting for Hard Knocks to come on.
Well, maybe you should have just looked at the TV guide.
I actually didn't sit in front of it.
I'm sure you didn't. Yeah, I actually thought it was on last night, too. I forgot that it's Tuesdays. I remembered that last week I had to watch BIP and Hard Knocks on the same night. It was a difficult marathon.
Yeah, I feel bad for you.
3 hours of television is tough to pull off. But, yeah, it's tonight.
Of real non-scripted television, don't forget to add.
Well, actually, I talked to Shelton B. Harris yesterday, and he doesn't think it's all real.
Right, yeah, I was joking. Neither of those shows.
Well, honestly, here's the thing, is, like, you're not going to convince, like, real, like, it's not like you could convince Vic Fangio to be fake, you know?
You
like,
can convince John Gruden to be fake.
Well, John Gruden's always fake. But it's not like this is season one. They've been doing this for years, so I don't think it's fake. The only thing that I thought was scripted about episode one of Hard Knocks was that speech that Gruden gave about, like, dreams and nightmares.
I feel like every speech he gives feels fake.
Well, that's just him. But what I'm saying is, like, that one was actually scripted, I think. I think they were like, hey, we need you to, like, have an awesome speech on the first day of camp. It's not fake. It's just cut in a way and edited in a way so that the drama is overplayed.
Do you know, do coaches, players, maybe some coaches, some players, executives get paid by Hard Knocks to do this? Because, I mean, they are making money off of them.
I think the team gets some sort of money out of it.
Wonder if the team divides it up.
I don't think you can get, like, a Hard Knocks bonus as
Why?
A player.
Why not?
Probably because of the salary cap.
Why not a coach?
Maybe a coach can.
Because Hard Knocks is forced upon you.
Yep.
So it's not like it would be an unfair advantage.
Well, you can actually accept Hard Knocks. So the teams that are, like, non-exempt are just the most likely candidates. But this year, the Hard Knocks' first target, apparently, reportedly, was the Jets. They really wanted the Jets. But the Jets had two exemption cards. So they were able to say no, and they have an exemption.
Right, but then it can be forced
but
on those other teams.
But then it can be forced. There are five teams this year that it could be forced
exactly,
on.
Exactly. So, I mean, it wouldn't be – I don't think that'd be unfair. If something's forced on you, you might as well get a benefit.
Yeah, but it's almost like a punishment for, like, having a team that sucks with a coach that's been there for a while.
Then Hard Knocks has the best gig around. If they don't have to pay their actors.
I think they just have to pay the team.
And then so it's just Mark Davis.
Yeah, probably. Well, that's how this all works in life.
I think they probably give a little bonus to John Gruden, and then he plays along with it.
I think I wouldn't be surprised by that. Wouldn't be surprised by that. Anyway, so I did write an article about this. I wanted to know, and I'll give my opinion on this in a second. I wanted to know if the players felt there could be anything gained from a football perspective from watching their week one opponent. Remember, this isn't like, I'm not asking about week six. Where they're like, we're trying to focus on ourselves in week one. I want to know if there's anything to be gained on their week one opponent by watching this show. And Zach, from a X's and O's pure football perspective, every guy said unequivocally no.
Surprise you?
It did surprise me. Because something as small as the snap count was picked up by J.J. Watt back in 2012, and I wrote about that in the article. And I just think, if this is your week one opponent, and you have a chance to get an inside look at everything they're doing, I would be watching so religiously and taking little notes on literally anything. And when I say literally anything, that's what I got down to the two guys who told me there's one little thing they can take away from this. I'll let you guys read that in the article. But I am shocked, and I think they are wrong to say you can't get anything from a football perspective. I think they're being closed-minded, and most of them said, no. If we want to learn anything about them from a football perspective, we'll just watch film. I'm talking about, like, intricate little details, little things about the relationships between Derek Carr and his receivers. Any little thing. You know, I was joking with you yesterday. I'm like, well, maybe, like, Derek Carr doesn't like when people whisper in his ear, and that comes out. Like, wouldn't you be whispering in his ear all game long? Like, just little things like that. I think, especially when it's your week one opponent, you should be taking notes.
I agree with you. I completely agree. Because, Ryan, what's the worst thing that comes from this? You waste an hour of your life? Well, maybe
don't waste it. It's still entertaining.
Maybe, well, in terms of true football, maybe Vic Fangio truly doesn't have an hour to waste. But we know that he is watching NFL Network late at night, laying in bed, watching old games. And if he's not getting anything from those old games, which he may be, then it could be worth his while to watch this. But here's where I say but, Ryan. I finished the first episode yesterday. I expect there to be more juice, there to be more football on the field in the coming episodes. I didn't learn a single thing that I could use against the Oakland Raiders in the first episode. Now, again, I expect that to change, but I don't think there was a single thing that I could take from just the first episode.
All right, that's our homework. Watch tonight. Tonight is the joint practices episode. They do joint practices with Sean McVay and the Los Angeles Rams. And this is everyone that watches Hard Knocks homework. So leave it in the comments, or you and I
it's
will.
Dangerous proposition.
All these people are already going to comment anyway. Keep it short. Come back with 1 to 5 things that you think would be beneficial to the Broncos from watching Hard Knocks.
Ryan, I'm being attacked by bugs over. I think one just flew in my mouth.
Jeez, man.
I know. One just hit me in the nose when you were talking. Another
need
one.
Some water?
I think I'll be okay. Thank you. Now, I would expect with these joint practices that something comes out. Even if it's a small thing, like Von Miller noticed in the Super Bowl with how a player lines up, something small like that, I do expect there to be takeaways. But after watching one episode in my life, I can say that after one episode, I have to agree with the players. I do expect that to change.
But you didn't watch it from that scope. I think when you watch from that scope, you'll have a different eye on things.
I could go back and watch it, and you could as well. That first episode was just all about storytelling. And what, two guys they followed have been cut already, or at least one of the guys has been cut? And, you know, it's A.B. Introducing himself to Richie Incognito. Maybe the second episode probably won't have a lot of A.B. stuff.
Better.
But didn't it happen too recently? No, I guess he's been gone. I think they're really going to focus, and I think people are going to be pissed about this. They're really going to focus on the joint practice part because there's a lot of juice between John Gruden and Sean McVay.
Here's the thing. If they don't have some Antonio Brown juice on this episode, they're about to get killed.
I totally agree.
So the executive producer there either had a great week full of drama, or they weren't able to crack inside of this, and if that's the case, they're in big trouble.
It hurts since AB's not even there. It's not like they could follow him and be in his hotel room. Now, I know they were, they were with him in Miami, so maybe they're able to follow that as well.
That's going to be interesting. All right, that's
wait, so what's your guess? My guess is it's not as juicy in terms of the AB stuff as people want.
I bet you you're not going to get, like, inside video of AB like freaking out about his helmet, but I bet you they get a good juicy conversation between Mike Mayock and John Gruden regarding AB.
That wouldn't be juicy enough. It's just one little conversation. Here's do we think we see the painted helmet?
Oh my God, I hope so. Like, if they were truly on top of things, they would have been with Antonio Brown when he brought his Steelers helmet to some like car painting place.
I just have to imagine it's like looks so janky.
I know.
I imagine he did it.
It has like a store bought sticker on it.
The lines are so crooked.
Oh, that'd be incredible. All right, bringing it back to the Broncos.
Wait,
here.
Speaking of wide receivers, do you have something to talk about?
Go for it.
Emmanuel Sanders. Speaking of diva wide receivers, obviously clearly not as much of a diva as Antonio Brown. But Ryan, we learned something new about Emmanuel yesterday that is just so freaking incredible about Emmanuel. He had a second surgery in the offseason on his other ankle, a tightrope procedure, which...
Are we supposed to pretend like we know what the F that means?
I have no idea what it means, but I kind of know what the procedure is meant for. It's not... what it does is it helps ankles either recover faster, or it just helps them get back to like 100% or close to 100% after having ankle injuries and problems. No idea what tightrope means. There's some drilling involved. Sounds disgusting. But he had this on his other ankle from the Achilles. He had it 1 month after. after that, and we found this out from Mike Kliss yesterday. Incredible. Incredible.
Let me just ask you something, Zach. You tweeted out a quote from Emmanuel Sanders. He said something along the lines of he had to crawl up and down the stairs. I'll just ask you straight up. I'm not going to make it a leading question. Do you believe him?
No.
Okay.
Do you?
Hell no. I don't believe that for a second. I know that I have that friend.
Yeah.
I have that friend who like sprains their big toe and tells me about, you know, how bad it was and I couldn't walk.
Would it be crazy to call that friend a diva?
100% a diva. 100% a diva. Or like they sprain their ankle and show up to school in crutches the next day.
All right.
I'm like, dude, get the hell out of here. So anyways, I don't believe that for one second.
Nope.
Also, like, you're Emmanuel Sanders. What do you need to go up and down stairs for? If you just had double ankle surgery and you can't walk, isn't someone doing the going up and down the stairs for you?
What if your bed's upstairs?
You sleep on the couch. you get one of those house lift things.
Yes, yes.
For old people, there you just sit on the little chair, press the button, it takes you right up.
Or I think you probably have a bedroom on the first floor.
No way.
Picture that, I imagine it being like a murder movie and someone was just stabbed like 7 times and like trying to crawl up to get their phone.
Have you ever seen, I think it's House of Wax.
Definitely
or
not.
Or maybe it's another one, but a guy gets his Achilles sliced.
I've seen that in a horror movie before, and that, I don't like my collarbones being touched, so I'm definitely afraid of like, yeah, I could not, I don't even like touch, you're touching them right now, that freaks me out, so I don't even like touching my own collarbones, so breaking my collarbone scares me, and also anything with Achilles.
What's your deal with your collarbone? You grab my Achilles,
you touch the Achilles, it's the worst, so that's...
What's the collarbone thing?
I don't know.
So you're telling me if I came up behind you and gave you a little...
Oh, yeah, that's not happening.
Gave you a little shoulder squeeze?
I'll slide down in my chair.
Oh, my God. That's weird. I don't really like when people pat me on the back.
Okay. Okay.
Like, aggressively.
Okay. Okay.
Like, if you just come up and you give me, like, a little tap tap, finger tap, just a little finger tap,
yeah,
I'm all right.
Okay.
If you're like, what up, bro, and, like, smack my back, I'm going to be kind of mad. I'm going to be kind of mad. Yeah, so anyways, it is kind of crazy that he went through all that, and now he's back at like 100%, like 110%. But it really killed the whole thing for me when I read that quote that you tweeted out. Because I'm just like, nope.
Well, and then
video or it didn't happen.
I'll play on your route even more right now. Tua, my guy Tua Tagovailoa, have that.
What's his name again?
Sped through it. Tua, I'm trying to say it right this time. Tagovailoa.
I believe it's Tagovailoa.
It's tongue, which is what I realized last year.
Weird.
And it's so weird because it seems so wrong.
You want to know something weird that's been happening to me?
What?
I know that Theo Riddick's name is Theo Riddick, but sometimes when I go to say it, it just comes out Riddick. And it's really annoying.
You have my. I passed it on to you.
Yeah,
I spread it.
Some contagious garbage going on.
But Tua had the surgery last year after he had that ankle sprain in November, I want to say, in one of their final games. And then he had that and then played, what would that be, 6 weeks later? So that shows you how, you know, major it is or not major it is. It's just so incredible that he had both ankles worked on and looks like he does out here, because that was honestly the major takeaway from both of us yesterday, Ryan, was Emmanuel Sanders is so frickin' good and so important to this offense, and Joe Flacco's not just his best friend, but his one and only.
Speaking of one and only, I think we've reached the point where there is one and only number two quarterback for this team. Yesterday, second day in a row in which Drew Lock got almost all of the number two reps, and he did well with them. He had one throw that was an eye popper. It was a crossing route. He was rolling right. There was a crossing route coming towards him, He lobbed it just enough over the hands of a linebacker right into the arms of the receiver. And it's just like, man, this guy does it at he has the lows. Remember we used to always say, like, Paxton Lynch has the best throw of the day and the worst throw of the day?
Yep.
Drew Lock has, like, the best 10 throws of the day and then sometimes the worst throw of the day.
Yeah, it's not even consistently the worst throws every single day. And, Ryan, people are going to be surprised with how comfortable Joe Flacco looks on the move during the season. He's going to be put on the move a lot. People are going to be surprised at how comfortable he looks. Drew Lock on the move. It's a thing of beauty. It is a thing of beauty with how fast he looks, how quick he looks. But then you realize he's not a running quarterback, but he looks so comfortable, so fast, such a weapon. And then the way he throws the ball on the move is just exceptional.
Yeah, it's been really impressive to see him develop. I know there's a commenter who mentioned this, but it's fresh on my mind, so sorry. I'm going to say it right now, and then we'll just talk about it later, too. There was the Brian Baldinger breakdown on Twitter of Drew's game. And, you know, he admits in there, I'm only focusing on the positives. But when he breaks it down, and you see, like he mentions there, he had 10 good throws in the preseason game. 10 really plus throws. That's so nice to see. And obviously we saw it live, but when you watch the breakdown and it's just one after another, after another, after another, it really gives you hope about this kid.
It really, really does. And the Broncos are realizing that. They're saying enough is enough with this Hoagie show. And I fully... Ryan, what has to happen for Drew Lock not to be the backup on Monday night?
What has to happen for nothing can happen.
Are they still just going to do semantics though, and put Kevin as the two for one more game? I know we're both going to say they shouldn't, but will they? Who's the number two on Monday night?
Drew.
It has to be
for sure.
After practice. There's no reason to flip flop now. Make the move. Have Drew Lock be the second quarterback. And you know what? Brett Rippon's been the third quarterback the past two practices as well. Have him be the third.
Yep.
And then let's say this isn't going to happen, and I still wouldn't even do this, but let's say Drew falls flat on his face the next 4 weeks. Then that's when you have a conversation about, okay, should we keep Kevin Hogan around? But that's not going to happen.
No.
I mean, I'm talking like he comes out with the second unit and has 10 dropbacks, 4 sacks, 2 picks, and a fumble. I mean, that's how bad we're talking. Otherwise, Drew Lock is a second quarterback, and I expect this team to carry 2 quarterbacks this year.
All right, anything else that we need to cover from yesterday's practice?
Those are the big things.
One thing I did want to mention is I saw them involve Phillip Lindsay in the passing game quite a bit more. Just a little thing, you know, obviously with Theo Riddick out, they are going to have to count on Phil more in that regard. I noticed that he was getting that. And then I think George Aston has more work to do than we think he did. I think, you know, everyone kind of just assumes fullback, you just go in there and hit some people. He was lost on a few plays.
So, new fullback in town? Or can you see an offense without Andy Janovich for a week or two?
I can see that.
Welcome.
In fact, I'm starting to count on that as that possibility.
Yeah. And speaking of not very good, Ryan, more snap issues yesterday. At least half the snaps in shotgun were not okay. They weren't as bad as they've been in the past, where it turns into turnovers, but at Joe Flacco's knees or below. And when Joe Flacco has to catch a ball low, he immediately just throws it to the quick slant. Maybe there's even, I mean, it seems like there's almost a hot route in place. When there's a low snap, a receiver just does the quickest, shortest route to get open, because that's immediately what Joe Flacco does. He wants nothing to do with potential rush coming in his face. So that was a step back, because he was almost taking the RK plan of just be good the last week of camp. And then he had a setback, a pretty big setback yesterday.
Definitely has to really get that honed in. It cannot happen, but I'm very confident that they're not They don't have a plan B.
There's no plan B.
So I think it would be miraculous if we don't see that become a problem in the regular season.
Yes, it would be. Because we saw it last year, too.
Ah, brutal. Brutal. Got a tweet this morning from, let me see if I can find it, from Mark Tippins. He said, does anyone know if I can get Breck Brew in the UK? I know some of our small independent breweries in the UK export to the US, so hopefully it works in reverse. Need the strawberry sky, as Ryan Konigsberg does such a great job of selling it. Go Broncos.
Do you have an answer?
I don't. No. But you can always use the Breck Beer Locator.
Yes.
And I'm not sure if it even stretches that far, but...
Yeah, I really hope for your case you don't look it up and it says, like, closest one, 1,100 miles.
Closest one, South Florida. would that be the closest?
Probably point? Maine, New York, Boston.
Boston. Okay. Well, hopefully you find it, because Breckenridge beers are, well, damn good beers. You've got Vanilla Porter, Avalanche Ale, Strawberry Sky, my personal favorite, and many, many, many more. They're also just dropping the Colorado Core, which I tried on Saturday. This is something they're calling, I think, a cider ale. It's like in between a cider and a beer.
Oh, that's perfect.
I kind of thought it reminded me of, like, and then maybe this is not the best description. Some people might not think this sounds good. It was great. It's a mix of, like, cider, beer, and champagne. It kind of had the dryness of champagne.
Ooh, yeah.
With the bubbles. But really easy drinking, you know, sipping beverage for a concert venue.
So what's our bubble level are we talking here, Ryan? Are we talking like champagne level bubbles, or are we talking beer level bubbles? If it's an ale, it's probably the beer, right?
On the tongue, it felt like champagne level bubbles, but it didn't look like it in the vessel.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one to drop. It's real good.
They just, you can't go wrong. It's drop after drop after, they're just dripping.
Drop after drop of damn good beers.
And Ryan, let's get to the listener questions. But first, let me tell you about Green Mountain Dental Group. As you guys may or may not know, taking care of your teeth is pretty important. Our friends at Green Mountain Dental Group are giving away a free Sonicare when you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam. That's right. You simply have to take care of your teeth for Green Mountain Dental to hand you over a free Sonicare. So check them out today or online. Call 303-988-0711. That's 303-988-0711 to schedule your appointment today and keep those teeth looking damn good.
Damn good teeth.
That sounds good.
From Willie Thomas. Starting the questions here, he says, have you guys seen Brian Baldinger's breakdown of Drew Locke's game? It's very encouraging to see some national coverage give Drew a vote of confidence. I didn't realize how many drops Drew had. Definitely a step in the right direction. I want to see more reps with the twos and the ones.
And Drew had tons of, or at least two drops in game one as well. And one of them by David Williams would have turned into a huge play. The drops are terrible on every level except for Emmanuel Sanders.
If I was a coach, I would have scripted it the way that it's happened. I would have wanted Drew Locke to struggle on the Hall of Fame game, go and have a good week of practice, and then come out in the next game and improve mightily.
I completely agree. And just keep going up from there. Next one coming in from Broncos Square. He says, hey, gang, you got me.
Got him.
Longtime listener, new subscriber. I had to join with the training camp promotion. You guys are damn good hosts, and Zach has a damn good laugh.
Damn good giggles.
I am a recent Boise State grad, hence the Broncos Squared name. Gotcha. Now I'm reconsidering the name since Rippon is likely going to the practice squad. I'm thinking the new name should be Drippy Leg Vic.
Ew.
Since your comment about his sweat rolling down his leg a week ago.
Don't do that.
Wow.
Definitely don't do that.
Before my question, I recall you guys talking about a local ice cream place in Colorado and merging it with Breck Brewery or whatever you guys talked about. Anyways, it reminded me about a place here in Boise, Idaho that made beer and cider floats that were paired with different ice cream flavors, some ice cream flavors being infused with beer or wine already.
Wow.
My girlfriend tried a cider float and loved it. Maybe a thought if you guys could rope that together. Love that thought. I'll bring it to my connection.
You imagine like a strawberry sky float with like some vanilla ice cream in there?
Oh, some vanilla bean ice cream.
So good.
That is amazing.
My also, it's one of those things though. it doesn't, like, everyone always wants to make an alcoholic version of something that's already amazing.
Right.
Doesn't need to. Like, you don't need boozy slushies.
Right.
Your slushies are too good on their own. You don't need to mess with them.
Mmm, the boozy slushies can hit the spot.
I don't know. I talked about drinking for a purpose the other day. And that's kind of how I feel about this. It's like, you know what? I'd rather just take a shot and then have a Slurpee on the side.
But why not combine them?
Because the Slurpees are already so good. Don't mess them up with alcohol.
Ever had tequila rose?
Rosé, you mean?
No. Tequila rose.
Oh, no.
I'm about to show you the best thing of your life.
What is it?
Oh, my God. It's amazing. It's this liqueur that's tequila that tastes like a milkshake. It has nothing to do with what we're really talking about. It just popped in my mind.
Milkshakes, another thing. Don't need booze in them.
I agree. No booze in my milkshake.
So, like, while I do think a strawberry sky float would be good, it wouldn't be as good as a root beer float.
Right.
Which actually, in my opinion, isn't as good as a Coke float.
Oh, my God. You and your Coke is disgusting. But have you ever had a cream...
Oh, like a cream soda float?
Yes.
Yeah, that's probably the best.
That can't be beat.
Cream soda.
It's about
is
as
incredible.
Sweet as you can get, too.
Cream soda is so good.
Cream soda is always underrated.
I haven't had any of these things that we're talking about in
either.
Literal years.
And it's 9 a.m. and I could go for all of them right now.
Absolutely.
Under the questions, he says, I have two. Is diagnosing defenses a critical skill when evaluating rookies, or is that an acquired NFL skill?
I'll have to say, in my rookie year in Madden franchise QB1 mode, I was struggling to diagnose defenses. But last night I had a game where I went 25 of 27 for 400 yards and 4 TDs.
Oh my god!
Against the Falcons.
Oh my gosh!
Everything they were doing, I knew what they were doing before they even did it.
Wow! Did they fire Dan Quinn after the game?
I don't know, but the Dan Quinn like lookalike thing in the game. It looks like he's wearing like 3 pairs of shoulder pads. Like he's so broad. It's really weird.
I would say it's both. You definitely develop that in the NFL, but you can tell if some guys have it or some guys don't coming out. Second question: how do you guys think Drew Lock is doing in diagnosing defenses?
Better. He did better in the last game. I think there's a lot of times where he is prone to getting tricked. And that's when you see him throwing these interceptions in practice. It's like one of those things that you can't be locked in before the play. If you think you know the defense and then you think you know the route that's going to succeed against the defense, you still need to confirm that that's the defense they're running. And I think a lot of Vic Fangio's style is to make you think one thing is coming and give you something else. And that's how you create a lot of turnovers. But as a rookie, you just don't see it as quick.
Exactly. He finishes and says, one of my favorite parts of this podcast is every time you guys mention new subscribers and new partnerships with your local Colorado businesses. It's amazing to listen on the daily how much you guys are growing into a humongous Broncos family. Love this pod and love the content. Thanks, guys. Sorry for the long comment. Hey, if you subscribe, first comment, forget the character count. So yeah. Thank you so much, Broncos Squared.
I have to say, like, that comment specifically, just talking about how big this community has gotten, I had, like, a weird moment where I thought about that this morning where I literally just remembered sitting with Brandon in, like, a divey Mexican restaurant off of 38th, I think, and him asking me to move from Buffs to Broncos and just where we were in our Broncos coverage at that moment to where we are now is mind-blowing, and it's all because of you guys.
When I was hired, I thought about this morning randomly, too. It was in a divey Mexican restaurant off Federal.
We like our divey Mexican restaurants. We always joke that, like, if there's a book or a series about the building of BSN, they'll have to be, like, a big shout-out to just random restaurants. Like, massive shout-out to McCoy's Diner off of Federal. Like,
yep.
Brandon and I have had many business meetings inside there. It's, it's part of the brand now.
Right, exactly.
And that's, like, another cool... Like, we'd rather do that than go to, like, Benihana or something.
Right, exactly. Because we're local. Support local.
Right, and That's a little too expensive for us.
Next one coming in from Kirk Smith 44. He says, "Hey guys, after listening yesterday about keeping a roster spot for Janovich, I remembered a Ringer NFL pod I listened to. They talked about the new direction the NFL was 12 personnel, where the second tight end can be a hybrid blocking slash receiving tight end and who is able to play fullback if needed. This also helped create mismatches for defenses with the second tight end. Shouldn't that be the direction we go instead of holding a roster spot for a fullback for 2 to 4 weeks if he can't play?" Also, okay, that's the first question.
Yeah, I think that's what they're going to end up doing.
Here's the thing, though. I just don't know how much they'll actually use Troy Fumagalli, Jeff Heirman as a fullback, because there's only 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks to prepare for that. So I just think you'll see not as much fullback used.
You won't, but you'll see the little like H-back style plays where they come in motion and go into the backfield, and then they're the lead blocker.
How about Noah Fant doing that and then peeling out on a pass?
Yeah, a little sprint route.
Yeah.
I like that.
I do as well. He says, "Also, I got a Philip Lindsay in the 7th round of a 12-team fantasy draft with the 74th pick. Am I missing something about his fantasy value? Dude was a beast last year and should only get better, right?"
Yeah, there's a lot of idiots out there. And one idiotic thing that's going around right now is, like, fantasy, I'm putting experts in air quotes, are saying, like, "Oh, it's going to be a balanced load. Royce Freeman kills Philip Lindsay's value." And I'm just like, you're doing that thing that many people have done throughout the life of Philip Lindsay, which is not realizing that once he gets on the field, you just can't keep him off of it.
I wouldn't take him in the first round, though.
Well, no, you're not taking him in the first round, but you're not taking him in the 7th.
I mean, a Pro Bowl running back, that's not crazy to say first round.
Unless you're expecting him to take a leap, which I'm not expecting him to take a leap. I'm expecting him to put out a duplicate with some more pass catching. But if you're taking a running back at the first round, you want them to be the offense.
Right, of course, yeah. That's why I'm saying he's not that, but he's way better than 7th round. Also, Emmanuel Sanders is a very good play. I think he's going to be a very good value for a lot of people.
Yeah, and it's not. I'm not saying that Royce Freeman isn't going to get involved, but people are trying to tell me it's going to be like a 50-50 split in terms of touches. I just know how it works. It will not work like that.
So what? What are you saying? 80-20? Because I think it's going to be pretty balanced.
No, I think like
I see 60-40.
65. Okay. 65-35.
Yeah, and that's... He's going to put up points, but not a first-round guy.
No, he's like a second to fourth.
Yep, totally agree. Next one from Blue Ragu says, "This seems like it may not be true anymore, but in the old days, we always called it ultimate."
You never see... Since you do it on your phone, you're not seeing the breaks.
No, it's because it's not... See, oh, it is.
I
like do. That.
I see a reply style thing.
Got
here.
It.
So
okay.
Came. Well,
he starts off and says,
"Kind of skipped a couple."
I did.
Yeah. Next one's from Lone Star Bronco. He says, "Hey guys, I'm actually about 5.5 hours northwest of Austin in Odessa, so kind of a trek. But if I'm ever in the area, I'll give a shout. Do you see the Broncos targeting O-line after the final cut? Surely there's someone out there getting cut that is better than the Broncos' 7th O-lineman."
No.
Nope.
No, they wouldn't be cutting him if another team was going to pick him up instantly and love them and have them be a starter.
There are the rare situations of like a Ty Sambrylo where the Broncos have no value in him, want to get rid of him, and there's a team like the Falcons out there that says like he is a lot better than what we have, so we're willing to trade you something for him.
Right, and he would have been on the team if the trade didn't happen. It's not like the Broncos are going to cut him.
Maybe. By the way, I met Ty Sambrylo's dad in Canton.
Oh, awesome.
And he was really, really chill. I was wearing a Buffs shirt. No surprise there. And he's like, "You're a Buff?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Me too." And pounded it, which I never knew that about Ty Sambrylo's dad. And I was like, "Bro, how did you let Ty go to CSU?" And he told me the whole story, which was what I expected, which was that CSU was more interested in him.
Yeah. See, you messed up there.
Not the only time that's ever happened.
Iceman chimes in and says, "Hey, boys, just saying I'm a transplant Virginia Bronco fan. I have to say, more Allie and Lindsay. Enjoyed you guys trying to figure out the final 53 3 weeks ago early. Thanks. Probably no questions until after the game a week from now. Go Broncos." And Mr. Freeze chimes in and says, "I'm proud of how short your comment is." See, nice. I picked it up. I picked it up on the phone.
You did. Good job. Next one's from Buff Stuffalo. Says, hey team, I played Frisbee throughout college and love when you bring up anything Ultimate related. I also got into enough Frisbee related shenanigans to know that the disc is even bigger than you think. It holds about 4.5 cans of beer. That doesn't sound right. I don't think so.
It sounds you were like drinking a lot more beer than you thought.
Yeah, I mean, the way I felt, that wouldn't shock me. Sounds like a good time to apply Ryan's insight about adding ice to make it go down easier. One beer Frisbee on the rocks, please. And Blue Ragu chimes in and says, this seems like it may not be true anymore, but in the old days, we always called it Ultimate, not Frisbee. Awesome game. Ryan, how's your forehand throw? Do you have a hammer? So, people who play the game call it Ultimate and don't like when people call it Frisbee. On this podcast, I've just been calling it that because I don't know if everyone knows what I'm talking about if I just say I was playing Ultimate.
Well, isn't the full name Ultimate Frisbee?
No, that's a common misconception.
So the game is Ultimate?
The game is just called Ultimate. And people that play it don't even call a Frisbee, they call it a disc.
Oh my gosh, you guys in your... Talk about just hipster life right there.
It is such a good game. And when you see it played at the highest level, it is extremely entertaining. Like, if you sometimes they have the finals of the World Cup on ESPN2, watch it and you'll be blown away at the type of athletic stuff that goes on that field.
Yeah, I bet.
Anyways, he asked how's my forehand. I was a handler, so my forehand's pretty solid, and I do have a hammer. I wouldn't count on it, but I can throw it.
Next one coming in from BSN Balls Out.
All right.
That could be taken tons of ways. RK and Zach, you did it. You broke my freeloading will. You got me with your pitch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
You got me with your pitch. Don't be a Jake. Also, my name is also Jake.
Jake.
What do you think about replacing the got him with saying yad him?
It doesn't make sense in this context, but I do say that sometimes when Isaac Yadam gets a pass breakup.
Yep, it sounds like it. He says, I like you guys too much for Hunger Strikes nonsense. Further questions / comments will be brief. Ryan, when I read this one, this is the day. This was the Hunger Strike day. This was the deadline.
Today was the Hunger Strike. Maybe, let me just go check and see.
Maybe you can calculate where we're at when I read this. Well, he says, I'm a fan born and raised. Parents lived in Denver during the beginning of the Elway era, but raised me a Broncos fan in Raleigh, North Carolina. I went to NCSU during the Russell Wilson years and hate to see him tear up the Broncos every time. 3 years ago, my wife and I moved to San Diego. I just hit dirty 30, and my wife just gave birth to our first little Bronco fan, Cohen, 2 weeks ago. Congratulations.
Aww. Wow, is he named after me?
Maybe. If either of you guys are ever coming to San Diego, let's meet up. Does any of our SoCal community know any good Bronco bars or meetups in San Diego?
Someone does.
On the free shirt, can I use a discount toward the homegrown hoodie instead? Always looking for good hoodies, but frequently the arms are too short and torso is too baggy, especially from NFL.com. Do you guys have the same problem? Does this seem like one that would fit well, or am I better off with the shirt?
Never had that problem. But I'm pretty sure you can use your code on the hoodie. I just don't think you'll get it, the whole thing, for free.
Right, right. And yes, I have so many problems with hoodies.
Really?
Not fitting right. Yeah, the waist is always too big. It's got to fit me snug.
Well, yeah, I can see why that would happen.
He says, finally, a Broncos question. Who do you think is the most intelligent player on the team this year and why? And also, who's the funniest?
Real quick, we said we needed to break the record by today.
Yep.
Or else we'd go on a hunger strike. We have broken the record by 18 subscriptions.
Ooh, let's get it to what? 500 by the end of today?
I want to double the record.
Let's do it. So how many is that?
We need 100 more.
Okay, let's do it by the end of tonight.
All right.
Midnight. Help us out, guys. He says, keep up the awesome coverage. Go Broncos. Jake, okay, funniest player on the team and smartest.
Smartest player on the team. Football smart is what we're talking?
I think so, yeah.
It's either Chris Harris Jr. I'm going Chris Harris Jr.
I'm going Chris as well. So smart. Funniest? I'm going to go kind of goofiest route. Will Parks. Stay in the secondary room.
Definitely most entertaining.
Right.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who has legitimate jokes.
Our guy MFL.
Matt LaCosta was pretty funny. I don't know if I've met anyone on this team who has like legit jokes.
Vic came in and all the funny went out.
You know,
actually, Vic's kind of funny.
Vic actually is the funniest, for sure, yeah. Hands down the funniest.
Yeah,
most enjoyable to talk to for me so far, and I'm not. Remember, I never covered this guy, but Juwan Winfrey, he is like a beam of sunshine.
Yeah, he's like a ball of energy.
Yep.
Next one coming in from Bronco Born, Bronco Bread. It says, "What's up, y'all? I work at a beer garden in Dallas, Texas, and was wondering if y'all could find out if Breck Brews would distribute here. Hearing y'all talk about Strawberry Sky makes me want to get it on tap. Sadly, I had to watch the last game on the Seattle broadcast, and it was awful. Didn't even acknowledge Drew's dime of all dimes to Fumagalli. Also, this was a random question, I thought, but would Riddick be a potential for returner when healthy?"
Maybe. I feel like everyone needs to accept the fact that the Broncos are going to suck in their return game this year.
As they always do.
Like, I'm serious.
Yeah.
They're not going to be good.
What have you seen to
zero
say?
Zero things. Zero. Zero things.
There you go.
I have not seen one glimmer of hope from one player that tells me they might be a playmaker in the return game.
Okay, that's enough. Put your orange tinted glasses back on.
I'm telling you, they will suck in the return game.
Yes.
Tom McMahon's like 15 feet away from me.
Is he giving us the Drew look yet?
No, but I just want everyone to know that. There will be no big returns.
No. Hopefully just no bad plays.
Yes, the best thing you can hope for is no fumbles.
Don't shoot yourself in the foot. Next one from BC Bronco says, "Just needed to jump in here and say once again what a fantastic job y'all are doing over there at BSN. I just started to listen to the Rockies pod as well, and it's freaking dope. It's hard to believe it's included in the Broncos camp deal. Best $35 I've ever spent. Only question today I had for you is about Breck beers. First, does Breckenridge make any non-alcoholic brews for us who've hung up our cleats in the adult beverage game?"
Well,
I like that question.
Respect to you all for that.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
I'm trying to think of all of myself. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But I think if they did, it probably wouldn't be in the forefront of their marketing department. So I can't say for sure or not.
When we go there next, we'll be sure to find out for you.
I do know there's a non-alcoholic Coors, and it has the best looking can of any of them.
The gold can?
Yep.
With the you get the, isn't it a waterfall on it?
Yes.
I think there's a picture of a waterfall on it.
It's by far the best. It's black and gold, and it's a great looking can.
Oh, I haven't seen the black one.
Well, no, it just has like black accents.
Okay,
on it.
Okay, yeah, of course you would like that. Two, any idea if you can get Breckenridge Brewery products here in BC, Canada?
Canada. use the locator.
Yep. Three, retired from Mr. B.
You literally just can Google Breck Brew locator.
There we go.
That'll be the first thing.
Three, retired from Mr. B. Had to say it. Thanks as always, gents. Another
pod
will make the 9.5-hour driving home tomorrow on the last leg of the family road trip. Oh, have to add my wife darn near busted a gut when she
heard. Make sure you emphasize that G.
Busted a gut when she heard some of the Bachelor Bachelorette talk, as she knows how much I loathe those shows.
Anyone who says they loathe those shows is faking it.
They've never given it a chance.
Like, when I was in high school, I remember it was, like, cool to hate country music. And so, me, someone who hadn't even listened to country music, just also... Actually, I hadn't listened since I was a small child, because my mom liked it. I just said I hated country music because that was like a thing that was just normal to say. And then I listened to country music and I'm like, wait, I actually think this is great.
You think that's a high school thing, Ryan?
What people hate on country music?
What are you calling me? I don't like country music.
You don't know that you don't like me. You just think you don't like country music.
Here's what I'll say about especially like the Bachelor Bachelorette series. That's the only reality TV I've ever watched in my life. And before ever watching, I was like, yeah, it's trash. I don't know why I ever gave it a shot, but I do think it's like probably the best, most entertaining reality TV.
I get the idea of like it's stupid, but you just can't say it's not entertaining.
Because what were those shows when we were growing up? The ones where like everyone lived in a house?
What's that? The Real World.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
I watched episodes when I was with my friends. I thought those were straight up trash and would never watch those again.
I mean, those ones aren't nearly as good. That's
right,
for sure.
Exactly.
But the thing is, I did get tired of them quick, but they were entertaining for a little bit. Like Jersey Shore, that one actually sucks.
Yeah, I wouldn't watch it. Next one coming in from Vivid Swing says, Zach, I'm sorry, but I have to do this. Throws a link in there, says nothing further. The link goes to an NFL.com scoring system where you can have touchdowns be worth 4 points. I'm in an NFL.com league, and touchdowns are worth 6.
Well, yeah,
like,
touchdown
is worth, people. Brad, how much are touchdowns worth in our league?
6.
Enough said. Brad, Burrito Brad, Nacho Brad, you do it right, man.
Listen,
you do it right.
No one ever argued that you couldn't make touchdowns worth 6. We're just talking about the standard scoring.
It's so stupid. That is so stupid.
For Mark IT Snatch, hey guys, Ryan, I'm 1,000% on the malt, vinegar, and fries train. It adds a sweet crispiness to them. However, I cost the fries. I think you meant to say cover the fries rather than dip. Says, given the roster problems and your potential solutions, who do you keep on the practice squad? Ugh. I don't know if we need to go down that road.
About practice squad?
Yeah.
We will definitely get to the practice. I think we're going to nail the roster this year, Ryan. I think we're going to nail it and the practice squad. And we'll do that before John Elway does it.
He also says, I sincerely appreciate the way you guys read comments with proper cadence and enthusiasm. It shows how much you... I don't know what the typo is there. You like us, subscribers.
Yeah. Speaking of reading comments, you guys have had some pretty funny spelling errors today, which has been entertaining. So thanks for that. Next one from UK Bronco 76. He says, hi, guys. Loving the pod from over the pond. Firstly, fish and chips need malt vinegar and mushy peas.
Yeah, don't know what that is.
Yummy.
But...
that's kind of what I think of London food. If you are ever over here or on your world tour, could hook you up and take you to the best fish and chips you'll ever have. As for Broncos, who has been the most invisible player at camp? My vote goes to Keyshawn Bieria. Not heard his name mentioned, even with all the injuries of an inside linebacker.
He's been pretty invisible.
It's a good one.
I thought I would see more from Devontae Bosby. Not a lot, but definitely not the most invisible. Adam Gotsis?
Yeah. He's had a few PBUs or at the line, bat downs.
I heard an offensive player the other day say they hate when defensive players celebrate the knockdown passes because all it means is that you didn't win your matchup and got lucky at the end. So I thought it was a funny take on things.
Tim Patrick got a little bit of love yesterday. But he's been pretty invisible in my eyes throughout camp.
Yeah, so is Cortland Sutton. He's only been visible just because he's with the first team.
Yep. Yesterday, Vic was
asked. Devontae Thomas?
Yeah.
I'm seeing him walk in front of us right now?
Yeah. Yesterday, Vic was asked about Tim Patrick and was actually told. Vic was told that Tim Patrick catches everything. And Vic said, he better. A big guy that's slow better catch everything.
Which is kind of weird because Tim Patrick's actually faster than Cortland Sutton.
Really?
Yep. In terms of their 40 times.
Yeah. Wow. What's that mean about Cortland?
I know.
And he doesn't catch everything.
From Albert BD5. As a fellow Madden addict, I had to restart my career 4 times before finally getting drafted by Denver. I would never do that. I just think it was destiny. I was supposed to be on the Bucks. Anyways, he said, no worries, guys. I had my 7,700-yard, 73-touchdown season, and the Lombardi is back in the Mile High City. I feel like you need to turn up the difficulty maybe a little bit. Hopefully this isn't what it takes to get the team back into the Super Bowl. I may be the only one here, but I'm really pleased with how the coaching staff has brought along Locke. I can see the point of him missing quality second-team reps, but after handing Paxton everything he never earned the last few seasons, it's nice to see Drew earning every promotion of the depth chart. Thanks for another great pod. What was Paxton Lynch given that he didn't earn?
What
second
do you mean?
Team reps? Is that what we're saying here?
First team.
Because he
reps.
Said Paxton Lynch was given everything he ever earned. Well, I guess
like with the Broncos?
I just feel like he actually never was given anything that he didn't earn, except for maybe like the opportunity to compete for the starting job. But even then, there was no one there that deserved it.
Right. He was handed that, though, whereas Drew Lock is he has to earn everything.
But if Joe Flacco was here, that never would have happened. You know what I'm saying?
But that's the thing, is the organization built it so it would be like that.
Right, right. I don't know. There's a lot of people who think Paxton was, like, never given a chance, and then other people who think Paxton was given too much.
Right, right.
I think the problem was just the Broncos weren't in a good position at quarterback, so they were going to try and force him into it and give him all the opportunities to take over it. But they also didn't give it, like, giving him something he didn't earn, in my opinion, would have been making him the starter.
Right.
Which a lot of people think they should have done. I don't.
Yeah, they did it. They gave it to him at the end.
Well, when they were out of it?
Yeah.
They had no other options.
Right, and they just gave it to him.
Yeah.
Next one coming in from No Fly Zone 26. He says, "Hi, guys. First time commenter, but long time listener. Before I subscribed around the start of the offseason.
Got him.
I'm happy to hear that there are other listeners in Virginia Beach and in Virginia in general. I'm a college student that goes to Old Dominion University and just wanted to send my love and thanks to everyone at BSN that brings this great content that gets me through the days. We love having you on board here, No Fly Zone 26.
Yeah, thanks, man. Love you. Next one comes in from Count Flacula. Says, "I've done many unsavory things over the centuries, but your antics reminded me of a strange habit I developed in college the seventh time. I would take cereal, put it in a blender until pulverized, then add milk and create a thick, sugary paste.
Come on.
I became obsessed with my breakfast this way," he says. "I no longer eat cereal because, well, I'm an adult, but I do look back longingly at those times. What's the weirdest way in which you've ever eaten something?"
That would be the weirdest way that I've ever... So you
you've
drink
done that?
It? No, of course not.
The question was, what's the weirdest way in which you've eaten something?
So he drinks it?
No, he makes it into, like, oatmeal.
Yeah, that's messed up.
That's
pretty
weird.
Don't you think? I mean, talk about
what
a 7-second soak and it's done.
What possessed you to do that?
Yeah. That you didn't like crunching, biting things?
That's like the by far the best part is the crunch.
What's the weirdest way you've eaten something?
Well, Zach likes to take string cheese.
Yeah, that would be.
Lay it across a plate one way, then checker it across the other way in a weave format.
Yep.
And then melt it in the microwave and eat it like a blanket.
Yep, that's it. That's it. About 30 seconds. My microwave is broken now, so I've been deprived of that. So thanks for reminding me of what I can't have.
But speaking of what possessed you to do this, can you remember?
No. No. Dates back all the way.
I'm trying to think if there's any weird way I eat things. I think I'm a pretty standard guy in terms of my eating.
Let's change it to weirdest thing you eat.
I don't know.
Nothing. You're just a normal guy.
I'm pretty normal when it comes to eating stuff. I mean, I'll eat anything.
It is weird to think of, like, weird ways of eating something. Like, you just put it in your mouth.
This is, like, fresh on my mind just because I did it yesterday. I like to buy, like, jars of pickles and then pour, like, tons of spicy stuff into it to make them into spicy pickles.
And then let them sit?
Yeah. So, like, I put, like, a ton of red pepper flakes into the jar and some cayenne pepper and maybe even a little hot sauce.
That sounds amazing.
But that's not, like, weird.
You know what? As we were talking about yesterday, you are my girlfriend, pretty much. She would love that. She loves pickles, loves spicy. I should do that for her.
You should. Make a little batch of spicy. You should home make them.
The pickles?
Yeah. Get some cucumbers, some vinegar, some garlic, some peppers.
Some vinegar, though. That's the issue.
Oh, my God. Anyway, Blue Ragu says, "Here's a great keto thing that Ryan might like. Take a heaping tablespoon of peanut butter, slightly heat it to soften it, add fruit, Greek yogurt, almond milk, cinnamon, protein powder, and whatever else sounds good, and stir it all up. Delicious." Do you know what I'm going to say?
Ew.
Oh, no.
Oh.
I'm going to say that I can't have fruit or Greek yogurt or almond milk on keto.
So just take peanut butter and warm it up.
Warm peanut butter with cinnamon and protein powder.
It sounds delicious.
Someone else said,
Freeze says, "Are you a baby bird?"
Is that making fun of, like, the light? Or the cereal, I think.
Oh, yeah. That is funny.
From Jewel Flacco, "How has Eliza Holder progressed since progressed since the start of camp. The only updates that were trickled through were him getting yelled at for lack of effort on special teams drill and a recent interception.
Yeah, I was going to say he did have that nice interception recently. It's slow progression for him. He was the highest paid undrafted guy. Still has a shot of making the team, but he's really got to start proving it now.
Dan Burke says, I heard a nice little anecdote about Elijah yesterday. Zach Bye, our guy, said he saw Holder sitting by himself after practice playing the ukulele. Turns out he was rehearsing for the rookie talent show. The fact that he's putting effort into that is pretty cool. Lots of guys would just wing it and not take it seriously, but I thought it was dope that he was committed to it and wanted to put on a show for the other 89 guys.
Yeah.
And Zach posted a little video of it.
Yeah.
Sounded nice.
It was an emotional video. As he, like, panned over the practice field.
Some great videography from our guy, Zach Bye. I heard they're staggering the rookie shows this year, which is kind of interesting. So, like, they get a little something every day. Noah Fant told me a lot of them did videos, which I think is kind of lame.
Oh, they did something on a video and showed
they play it?
Yeah, that's
like,
lame.
You have to get up, in front of the squad. Anyways, Noah Fant told me he did a video, I think, like, impersonating Von Miller and Bradley Chubb.
Wow.
And he said he can do that because his locker is by them, and they all get along.
Oh, wow. And that's a talent?
Drew,
I guess impersonation?
I didn't hear. He wouldn't tell me who they were impersonating. Oh, no. Drew Locke and Brett Rippon did one of those videos that's, like, stuff nobody says.
Okay.
But it was like about players on the team. He wouldn't give me any examples of that, but I'm assuming it was stuff like, wow, Kevin Hogan's arm is so strong.
That's great.
Can you imagine if they did that?
Wow, Kevin Hogan's gonna make the 53.
Oh my god. That's ruthless. Next one's from Lindsay MVP 2020. Said, after watching Wadman last weekend, the RK and Zach punter scouting tour of Australia just got real. I just donated money to the BSN World Tour GoFundMe page to help the Broncos find a punter.
Hey.
Let's make this happen. Hey, and the link is still in there. It's on every podcast post on the website to donate to the BSN World Tour. And hey,
doubled since last time I looked.
We are making progress. We are over 10% over 1% of the way there.
Over 1%. We're rolling. We are picking up steam.
We are 1.3 of the percent of the way there. Am I right? Is that how that would work?
Yep,
or 1.03?
Exactly. No, 1.3. Yeah, you got it right.
1.3% of the way there.
You got it right. Next one coming in from Ooh Benny Lava. He says, sup boys, long time no comment. I just got done with summer class on Yellowstone ecology.
Interesting.
It was dope. I got school credits for basically camping and looking for animals.
Bro, what?
The best part was as we were stopping for gas in a random gas station in the park, there was miraculously a 15-pack of Breck Brews. It was a sampler pack, and I simply had to try it. It was a little concerned about how it would look returning to our car on an academic outing to my fellow classmates and professor carrying a 15-pack of beer, but I thought it was fate intervening, so I pulled the trigger anyway. Gotta say, damn good beer. My classmates enjoyed the beer as well, and it definitely helped break the ice. On to my question. That's
sounds
an
like
awesome
a,
story.
Sounds like a damn good class.
Yeah, it really does. It's always super hard for me to judge offensive line play. I guess if it's like the Green Bay Garrett Bowles tackling people to the ground, it's pretty easy to tell that's a bad thing. What do you guys look for that's maybe a little more subtle when evaluating offensive line play? How would you rate what you've seen from Sam Jones and Dalton Risner?
One thing that's really important to look for is not reaching. So you'll see guys, if they can't get to their spot fast enough, they're going to have to reach to slow the guy down. That's how you get called for holding. Other guys will get to the spot and then let the guy come to them where they can engage them without having to reach out. Because as soon as you reach out, like a Von Miller is just going to smack your arms down and get right past you. So you kind of have to time when you engage them perfectly. Because if you get your arms too far out, you lose a lot of your strength. And like I said, Von Miller is going to chop your hands off, literally. Your hand will just be flopping around on the ground. And you're going to be giving up a sack.
That was gruesome.
It's pretty metal.
I really like what I've seen from Dalton Risner. I feel even better about my prediction that at the end of the year, he's absolutely the team's best offensive lineman.
That's impressive stuff.
He says also, there's a vampire in the comment section now. I love it. Shout out to the count. Better hope he's not. There's not a vampire slayer in the myths. Perhaps a Von Helsing.
Wow.
Impressive.
Nice,
nice pun. He gives himself a high five. Okay. I'll admit there were a couple Breck brews left from the camping trip. Much love.
Speaking of puns, I made another one on TV last night.
Oh, of course you did. You would never disappoint us.
All right, a long one here from Dan Burke. Says it's Wednesday. It's not Wednesday. I wouldn't know. But we gonna get mad. I don't understand people who think we made a mistake not taking Bush at 10. Trading down to 20 allowed us to pick up another second-round pick this year, which allowed us to take Locke and a third-round pick next year, which will be a top 100 pick. Vic Fangio, who is probably the greatest linebacker coach of all time, decided that he was happy with the linebackers on the roster and was okay with passing on Bush. If he's okay with it, so am I. And I agree with Zach, or was it Ryan, that the defense is still going to be top five. That was me. Regardless
we
of Bush or not.
That.
Yeah. Sure. Plus, Todd Davis gets criminally underrated by this fan base. I don't care what anyone says. Todd is a good player, and it's not his fault he was put in difficult situations last year. You agree? People are going to moan regardless. If a report came out, the team was...
Some trolling's going on.
Team's hooting and hollering over here about the guy operating the jugs machine, I believe. Anyways, if people are going to moan regardless. If a report came out that the team was considering Fant in a trade down, then people would be saying how much a difference he would have made to our TE room, which would have been an absolute hot mess without him. Can you imagine going in the season with Hyerman, Butt, and Fumagalli? Yeah, I kind of can, but...
Pretty much the last 3 years.
If Locke becomes an even average starting NFL quarterback, then the Broncos won the trade hands down. I want to talk about that in a second. Plus, having Locke on the roster gives us something to look forward to. There's optimism about the team's future for the first time in years, and that wouldn't have been the case if they drafted Bush at 10. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk. Sorry for the long comment, but I was in my feelings, clearly.
I love your TED Talk, Dan Burke. And here's the thing, though. It would have been fine either way. Just the honest to goodness truth. If it was Devin Bush and he balled out in the Broncos' first preseason game and we had loved everything we saw in training camp, which I imagine we would, he's going to be an all-pro player. He's going to be a Pro Bowl player likely this year. Ryan, we're ecstatic about it. Everyone's ecstatic about it. Now, on the flip side, yeah, the Broncos filled a lot of holes and a lot of needs instead of just getting... Instead of getting an inside linebacker. Is Devin Bush better than Todd Davis? Yes. Is he better than Josie Jewell? Yes. Is he better than every other inside linebacker of the team? Yes. So that's just the honest to goodness truth is it would have been fine either way, and it would have been viewed very highly either way.
I agree. But he said something there. He said, if Locke becomes an average NFL starting quarterback, then the Broncos won the trade. And that leads me to a poll that I put out yesterday.
Oh, I did not see this poll.
Well, my tweet deck is frozen, so I can't get to the numbers right now, but I will. The poll was, would you rather have a terrible quarterback that you drafted in the actually, I didn't say the first round. Would you rather draft a terrible quarterback who turns out to be a bust and you move on after 2 years, or would you rather draft an above-average quarterback who wants to be the highest-paid player in football?
Well, I know who you're pointing to, so I'm
not pointing
to
anyone. I don't know what you're talking about.
So I'm going to say no, I don't want Dak Prescott on my team at $40
million. This is hypothetical.
Well, what are we talking above average? Are we talking 13th or are we talking 5?
I'm talking if average is 15, he's 14.
Okay, no. I paid top 10 quarterback the best, the highest paid, because then it's just going to go around in a circle. But I'm not paying 14.
So you would rather have the bust? And move on and start fresh.
So hard to say, but yeah.
So obviously, because everyone knew exactly who I was referencing, there was right. Probably a Broncos skew to this. It was obviously Paxton Lynch versus Dak Prescott.
Right.
59, and same draft class, by the way. 59% of people said, A, they would rather draft a quarterback who turns out to be an absolute bust and they move on after 2 years than get a average quarterback who... it wants to be paid $40 million.
The Cowboys are in a terrible spot right now.
They're locked up. They're in win now mode. So not paying him would be counterintuitive because it's going to take you a while to get another guy.
So what's his thing? He'll probably start holding out next year?
Yeah.
Like they're just in negotiations now, but he'll play this year.
Yep.
If he comes out and fails, though.
Our friend Nick Kendall from Mile High Huddle actually made a really good point on this. He said he'd rather go the Dak Prescott route, let him walk, and then you're going to get the because of the money he gets paid in free agency, you're going to get the number one overall compensatory pick.
You certainly would. There's no question about that.
Which, in the end, means they actually improved value on there. Not only did they get a solid starter, but they took a fourth-round pick, I believe. Was he fourth?
Yeah.
Fourth-round pick, I believe, and turned him into a third-round pick.
Yeah, not bad. And you don't have to pay him. And now you can go, hopefully, go out and find your next guy. I mean, you're in a bad position either way.
It is not a good place to be. Would you rather be there or where the Broncos are right now?
Well, it's tough. I mean, with the Cowboys, what were they, 10-6 last year?
Right, they went to the playoffs.
11-5.
But
if we take it, obviously the answer, if you're looking short-term, is you want to be the Cowboys right now. If
yes.
You're taking a long-term. Well, take the Cowboys away from Dak, though, and have Dak be on a team where he's not surrounded by talent. That's how you have to view it.
The thing for me is, did you win a Super Bowl? If you didn't win a Super Bowl, nothing matters.
Yep. A so Peyton Manning era almost didn't matter in your eyes.
So you might as well just keep failing until you find the guy that wins you a Super Bowl.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Well, of course, we always got to remind you guys. We did talk about doubling the record, which is a lofty goal, but I think we can do it because I know for a fact that there are at least 100 of you out there listening to this right now that have thought about subscribing, but it's not that you put it off, because we know you don't hate us. We know that you love us. You've just been thinking about it when you're on your drive to work, and then you're like, oh, I'll do that when I get home. But you just keep forgetting, and you just keep forgetting, and something comes up, and you have to make dinner, and you have to pick up the kids from soccer practice.
Not soccer practice.
But tonight's the night. Tonight's the night that you don't forget, and you come in, and you use the promo code BroncosCamp, and you get $10 off a one-year subscription, and you get a free T-shirt of your choice. We just came out with the CU and CSU shirts. Like, they just came in. Oh, man, the CU one is nice. It is nice. We also have a bunch of Bronco shirts in stock, Rockies, whatever you're feeling, whatever is your favorite design, you're going to get that for free. You can get all of our stories in audio form, which is pretty darn cool, and a whole bunch of other awesome stuff.
And, Ryan, use that code BroncosCamp tonight, because then you'll be able to find out what happened to practice today. Because you know what? Broncos off day tomorrow. So we'll be back with you guys on Thursday. You guys don't want to wait that long to find out what's going on.
That is true. Ooh, that's real true. Tonight's the night you don't forget.
I like that saying.
Tonight's the night you don't forget. All right. We have one more thing to tell you about before we move on, and that is Weinster. We had our buddy Eugene yesterday chime in and say he's taken full advantage of Weinster. He impressed a hot date. That's the kind of stuff that happens for you when you get Weinster. You start becoming a little more mature. You start becoming a little more refined as an adult. And that's when you start attracting the ladies.
Hey.
Or the men.
Hey.
Or whatever floats your boat. So check out Weinster and use the code BSN25 to get $25 off your first shipment of wine and start being a real grown-up. That's Weinster, Weinster.
Next one coming in from Timmy from Sweden. He says, hey, guys, great pod as always. Long time no see. Still listening to the pod every day, but I've been up to much in life and stuff like that, so therefore no comments, but better now than never again. Ha ha. First, a question. Sad to hear about the injury of Janovich. How much do you guys think it will affect the running game? Also, do you think they will keep Aston or look in free agency? The second thing. Now that Ryan has an Xbox and Madden, we will start an online franchise, much like the Fantasy League. We need a BSN Madden League. Also, Zach, get on the Madden train as well, for goodness sake. If you're interested, email me, Timanity at gmail.com.
Timanity at gmail.com.
Thanks as always, Timmy from Sweden. So, Ryan, how much does Janovich hurt the running game?
It's going to hurt for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
The biggest run they've had of the preseason was because of Andy Janovich.
Exactly.
So we'll see on that. And I'm trying to watch practice here as they've begun scout team offense as we're going through here, because you guys have so many darn comments.
I'm going to stand behind you, Ryan. This is going to be weird.
This is very weird. You are breathing down my neck as we speak. From T. Dubs, he says, hey, Zach and RK, has a strike from Flacco to Emmanuel Sanders for
Joe
a touchdown.
To Emmanuel. Easy.
He says, hey, Zach and RK, I got my Mile High Salute shirt in the mail today, and you guys were not kidding about how soft these shirts are. It was nice to hear a couple other subscribers shout out that they're from Utah. Sounds like we need to have a Salt Lake meetup for us fellow BSN fans. Salt Lake's actually a pretty cool city. He said, I assumed with Utah being so close to Colorado that we would for sure have some Breck brews here, but I couldn't find them anywhere. And according to the beer locator, I'd have to go to Wyoming to get them. That's probably because of, like, weird Utah stuff. If anyone has found them in Utah, let me know. I've never craved a beer that I've never tasted as bad as this. Keep up with the great content. Go Broncos and go BSN. Hashtag damn good sports coverage.
Hashtag I hope you get your damn good beer, T-dubs.
All right, next one's from Coach Tobin. Zach, you got a play-by-play on what just happened?
No, I didn't. I was looking at the comments. What happened?
I don't know.
A good defensive play. Joe Dineen and Shamarco Thomas doing a little punching each other's stomach.
All right. He says, from Coach Tom, he says, y'all keep me up to date with everything while I'm driving around here in West Texas. Much appreciated. Broncos fan from day one. Couple things for me. I won't post two offense once the season starts, so don't worry. I just want to feel like I'm part of the fam. So Flacco right, lines Flacco up under center.
Noah Fant in motion. Nope, hard count. Handoff. Devontae Booker. Oh, shakes him. Oh, my gosh. He's off to the races. Not about a four-yard run there.
The scout team defense, folks, is not giving their best effort. Anyways, he says, one, will we find a legit returner once the final cuts are made? Zach, what's the answer?
No.
No. Two, Pico is amazing, but you need to find it. You need to use it in certain situation, and it needs jalapenos. Quote, the tomatoes explode in your mouth, said Zach. I'm going to come up with 10 quotes each week from you guys, so be ready.
Oh, that'll be great.
Three for Mr. B. Four, I love the shirts, but I'm waiting for the new ones to come out to choose. Do you know when the new Broncos shirts will make their debut? Before the season starts.
Yeah.
Five, how in the bleep is Booker still on the roster? Got to be a better choice, even if we are banged up again.
Booker what? With back-to-back carries, and then Royce just spelled him for a carry.
I get that Devontae Booker is not exciting, but there's a lot of hate for him.
There's a lot of hate for him, and he's a guy that had over 5 yards per carry last year. I know he was Mr. 3.8 coming into last year, and I know he wasn't the guy last year, but he had his best year of his career last year.
He's just okay, and you can't have a whole player, you can't have a whole roster of guys who are just okay.
Ryan, is okay good for your third running back?
I mean, you can't. What I'm saying is, you can't have a roster full of guys who are great.
You can't have Philip Lindsay 1, 2, 3,
right,
4.
You
five,
have
six.
To have guys who are just okay.
So you're okay with Booker as your third if that's what it is, right?
Yep.
Deshaun Hamilton playing in the middle of the field.
Nice little stick route there from Hamilton.
Four. Oh, no, he says that. Five. How in the
already did that one, too. Six. Ben McAdoo was the former Giants coach who sucked.
Ah,
and he said,
yes,
he sucks for sure. Seven for John. Cheers, fellas.
Mr. Freeze says, Booker is a good receiving back. He just can't carry the ball more than half a yard before falling down untouched. Surprised no one said running into his own offensive line.
Yeah, that's another thing he does. All right, here's a fantasy league update from Nacho Brad. He says, one, the free league is full. 48 teams, four divisions, each with its own player pool. Last year's winner was I'm Not Mark Wahlberg, who incidentally wasn't even a Broncos fan. He was just a last-minute fill-in. Ridiculous. Two, there is two pay leagues, both full. 32 teams total across both leagues.
Hey.
Three, saved for Mr. B. Four, as the resident expert on burritos, meetup coordination, and fantasy football, passing touchdowns are six points.
Yes, my guy, Burrito Brad. I'm undefeated in Brad's eyes.
You don't even know his name. Five, I have some really good ideas for next year's fantasy leagues, but I'll have to wait until February to start that conversation. I'm already getting entries for the waiting list.
Nice.
He finishes by saying, see you all next week. I can't believe it's that soon.
That is wild.
Looking forward to Sam's 3, Breckenridge, and, of course, Blake Street. And if anyone beats me in miles, beers are on me. He's coming 850 miles for the fantasy draft.
Okay, let us know if you can beat that. Let us know.
Okay, wait, really quick. If you want to do the BSN Open, which has been floated around here but never really officially become a thing, email Brad. Because I know that he'll keep things coordinated. BSNFightingBurritos@gmail.com. If you want to play golf on Saturday, was that Saturday, the game, the day of the game? If you want to play golf on Saturday morning with the BSN crew, email him. You have to. If you're not listening right now, it might not happen at all. So if you want to play golf on Saturday morning before the fantasy draft, reach out to BSNFightingBurritos@gmail.com, and I will make sure it happens.
BC Bronco chimes in and says, I missed out this year. We'll be sure to sign up next year. Freeloading too long. There is a cost to putting off subscribing. If you get any drops, Brad, let me know as always. I'm willing to jump in.
All right. Mr. Freeze has a theory about why Drew Lock kept looking over here yesterday.
Ooh.
He says, maybe Drew is fascinated with Zach's laugh and kept looking over to get a glimpse of where that heavenly noise was coming from. 5 stars all day.
Mr. Freeze, my guy.
Speaking of, throw us a 5-star rating on iTunes if you think we deserve it, and also leave a comment about why you like us if you like us.
And maybe you'll get that little medallion Mr. Freeze has.
Yeah, I guess that's for the most popular comment of the day.
Oh, nice.
And I just hit him with another upvote.
Oh, he's got 6 now, 7.
All right, from Caliman Bronco. What up, guys? Zach, your laugh is too dope.
Oh, my guy.
As our friend Tay-Tay would say, don't know who that is, haters... Oh, Tay-Swift. Haters gonna hate. Anyway, quick question. I feel like the past few coaches we had to suffer through were hired because Big John loves having control of the team and enjoys being the puppet master.
Big John, huh?
With the Godfather in control, does Elway back off and let Fangio do his thing? I think he totally has.
Yeah, speaking of Big John's...
You're just going to leave it right there?
I have no idea where you are in these comments. I totally lost
it. Well, I'll just take us home. Thanks again for all the amazing Broncos coverage. Love the pod and love the Broncos, he says.
But yeah, I'm just going to leave my Big John hanging there, Ryan.
Oh, man. This is... what is wrong with you? All right. From Joseph the Manning. This is a long one, and I'm not happy about it. Because it is one giant chunk of text. Says, hey guys, finally getting around to commenting. Thanks again to Ryan for setting up the hangout in Canton. That was a great time. It was actually great meeting you. We had a great time. My initial impression of Cortland was very positive when he was drafted and remained pretty much positive for all of last season. Someone needs to shell these altitude guys to shut up.
We need to be louder. We need to be more obnoxious.
Hey, Nikki, can you tell them to shut up? Nikki didn't do it. But they did shut up. That's great. Anyways, he says the first thing was his comment that he feels like he is and can be the number one receiver. One probably needs to have a little delusional confidence to make it at the highest level, but that comment seems to be pushing it a bit. Then, in his press conference early in camp, I thought he got a little too defensive of the drops. He seemed to be generally bothered by the implied criticism. Again, small but still slightly concerning. Then the fight with E definitely brought me to full-on concern. He seems to be a guy who thinks he's made it before he has. And the drama with E should probably still be in the respect... the veteran mode is a combo that has me concerned. How do you guys feel about his attitude and how it may affect his growth into what he's meant to be, a true number one wide receiver?
I'm not going to disagree with what you said there. You can be a bag, Ryan, and be a great receiver.
Oh, Emmanuel Sanders.
Right. Your words, not mine. But yeah, exactly. But sometimes that stuff can get in the way. If you think you're the guy, maybe a DeMarcus Walker type of mentality, and you just stop there, then that'll definitely kill.
I said this when I was on with our friends Stokely and Zach yesterday. Complacency is the most dangerous thing in all of sports. The second you think you've made it as a player, the second a team thinks they've made it, the second anyone gets complacent and feels like they're good is when bad things start to happen. And I think, unfortunately, that path started during last training camp. And I don't
know. When he was balling out.
And I don't know if there was ever a humbling process
right
there. And the NFL should be a very humbling place.
It should be. It should be. Ryan, our tent is being ran into. I don't know what's going on. Let's just hope it stays up by the time we can get out of here.
I'll finish here because it's the last comment.
Oh.
He says, what do you think the percent chance is that we're talking about Cortland as our number one receiver in 2 to 3 years? Or do you think there's a good chance he falls to a number two and someone like Winfrey emerges as our number one?
The plan is that he's the one. And he should be the one. I'm going to say he really should be the one.
Overall, do you think there's a high chance that Sutton and Hamilton are our 1 and 2 as they were supposed to be when they were drafted for the 2020 and 2021 seasons?
That's a good question. Do you think both of them pan out? I like Deshaun's approach to the game, his attitude, and I like what I've seen from his play. He has had a few drops here in the past week, but who hasn't?
I think the Broncos draft a wide receiver in the first round this year, if that answers your question.
Okay, so not a Deshaun guy, huh?
Going on here, he finishes and says, I know that was a lot of questions, but I figured they could all be answered with one answer, as there are really several sides of the same question. Thanks for the great content.
Well, we gave you answers to all of them.
Thanks for chiming in.
Thanks for subscribing, Joseph the Manning.
Today, a record for comments that weren't after a game.
Yep. It's scary what's coming. It's awesome, though.
And we are now 45 minutes into practice, and we're still on the podcast. So, with that in mind, and about 90 minutes of podcasting in the books, we're going to wrap it up today. We love you guys. Thanks for subscribing using the code BroncosCamp. Remember, tonight's the night you don't forget.
Hit it. BroncosCamp.
Tonight's the night you don't forget. That's the name of our new album. Check that out in stores and rate us 5 stars on iTunes. We love you guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Tax debt is impeding the growth of millions of small businesses in the U.S. That's why Symbio Tax and Administration's goal is to enable small businesses and individuals to make informed and calculated decisions when it comes to their taxes. Symbio Tax provides small business owners with expert services in resolving tax liabilities and providing financial clarity.
I would recommend George to anybody who has to deal with the IRS. His strengths and depth of knowledge make him really valuable. You know, over the course of years as a real estate broker, I've had the opportunity to talk with many different tax people. But the one thing I have found with George is he was very easy to work with. He was very articulate.
Symbio Tax is experienced in preparing returns for all income levels, as well as securing penalty abatements and settlements for qualified individuals that sometimes save the taxpayer thousands.
George was able to save us about $7,000, and of course, you know, being an independent real estate broker, $7,000 is a substantial amount of money, and it was really nice to get that dealt with.
They offer free consultations, so be sure to check out symbiotax.com for more information. That's SYMBIOTAX.com.